The topic of today's podcast is Step 7, Humbly Ask Him to Remove Our Shortcomings.
I'm Mary, and I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to share on the seventh step. I was thinking back to when I came into my first meeting and how I was truly believed there was no God, or if there was a God, he certainly didn't care about me. And today I'm speaking about how I have turned everything over to this higher power, and I'm so grateful. When I was fairly new, I tried this step. I told my sponsor, I'm going to try this step, and she said, well, you need to do the other work first. But I said no, and I asked if God would, take away all my defects of character. And I think what I was asking is if he'd take my husband away, because I figured he was my biggest defect of character. And today I don't feel that way anymore. But it was true. I had to work the other six steps first. And when I finally got to the seventh step, what I realized was I didn't really know what character defects needed to be removed, which were harming me the most, but my higher power did. And so I started to, really ask him, please, God, I don't want these things to come between you and me anymore. Because I knew I was building a wall between my higher power and between people. I was always afraid of people. Coming to a meeting was terrifying for me. But I kept coming back, and I know today it was because God kept pushing me back and because he knew I needed this so much. And today I'm so thrilled to say that the character defects I've had removed, I don't think any of them have been, completely removed, because every once in a while they'll come back up, and I realize that this is my higher power's way of telling me to, I need to look at what I'm doing, and I need to get a little bit closer to him, and that I'm starting to move away, and I trust him totally. Thank you for this opportunity to share.
My name is Wes, and I came to Al-Anon because of my absolute utter frustration, and I knew that I didn't have any character defects, but I knew who did. Fortunately, a very good friend and fishing partner was a recovering alcoholic, and he told me just to go to meetings and do those simple things. And the steps are in an order for a reason. And everyone's talked about the anger. I was so angry that I thought that was normal. And a lady that became a very dear friend and still is today would keep me out after that Tuesday night meeting talking to me. And then at a meeting, a lady, after I'd been a while, said, it's so nice now that we're not afraid of you. And it's because of that anger that I had for the disease of alcoholism, because I grew up in it. I married into it. I had co-workers, and I tried to cover up for all of them. And my personality really just went down into the dirt. And through the aid of meetings and the other tools that we've got in the program, I found out I didn't have to live like that. Now, I did have to terminate that marriage, but I still had me with me. And when it came time to do step seven, in order, it freed me up so much, because I didn't have that. Today, I can experience the joys of life, to watch a child laugh, to go into my garden and see the birds feeding their babies, so many little things that I lost or I gave up because of this disease of alcoholism in the years that I spent in it. But I don't really have to live that way unless I would choose. So today I choose to do the simple things, like to go into the meetings, and you try a few meetings. If you don't like one, try another. And you don't have to worry about these higher number steps. You just realize your powerlessness, and eventually this absolute joy and freedom will come over your life. You don't have to be ashamed of anything that's going on. I live on a lake, and I have a lot of people out in the summertime, because today I'm not ashamed of the way I live, because I've done these steps. Thank you.
My name is Connie, and I'm going to talk about step seven a little bit, too. When I came into Al-Anon, I figured that if my husband would straighten up, that I would be fine, and what I found out was that he did, and I was not fine. And that's when I started attending Al-Anon meetings. For me, I realized fairly early on that there had to be a higher power, a God of my understanding, because my thinking wasn't getting me anywhere. And although I do truly believe that the steps are not, are made in order, are numbered in order for a reason, I know that God did some things for me early on to help keep me, I think, help keep me in Al-Anon. And one of those things, and people have talked about the anger, but what I did was I yelled. And it's interesting that I haven't associated that for a long time with anger, but I was angry. But I yelled. I yelled at the cats. I yelled at the dog. I yelled at the kids. And after I'd been in Al-Anon for a short time, my children made the comment to a friend that we like it that Mom goes to Al-Anon. She doesn't yell so much. And it just, it really helped me to keep coming back. It was a quite powerful experience. So it just, God does for us, my higher power does for us, it does for me what I cannot do for myself. But it just has made my life so much more incredible. I can't even begin to tell you. And so I'm going to read a little bit from one of my favorite pages. And because it just expresses my life today. It says, today I can begin a new way of using my minutes and hours, a new way of looking at my surroundings and the circumstances of my life. I will make this day one I can look back upon with pleasure and satisfaction and a preparation for the days to come. Today is all the time I have. Nobody can keep me from using it well. If I make this a good day, tomorrow can be even better. And that's what Al-Anon has given me, and Step 7 has been a huge part of that. I thank you so much for listening to this.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this discussion about Step 7 in Al-Anon. The topic of today's podcast is Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all.
Hi, my name is Tricia, and this step, step 8, talks about willingness, it talks about making a list, it talks about putting things right in my life. And when I first came into Al-Anon, I don't think I had any of those things working for me. My introduction to Al-Anon happened at just the right time, I feel. I was ready then to do something different because I had gotten to a place in my life where the things that I was doing, I didn't understand them. And that really scared me. I was used to having the alcoholics in my life doing things around me that I didn't understand. That was normal. That was every day. But when I started doing things that I didn't understand, that really made me want to search out something to do differently in my life. And I'm really grateful, forever grateful, you know, that the God of my understanding led me to Al-Anon. I believe that, you know, this step is all about being willing. And willingness for me comes at a bunch of different levels. My willingness is very open to say that I'm sorry to somebody that I've done a minor harm to. That's something, you know, every day if I just say something that I didn't mean or something like that, it's easy to be willing to make amends. But there is that other level where sometimes my willingness really has to be coaxed, and I have to pray for extra strength and extra courage. And I believe that's something that's given to me during this step, is the courage to really look at myself honestly and openly and reach out to others and make things right for things that I've done in my past. The action that's in this step is really only making a list. I don't have to do anything else. And that's one of the things that really helped me when my sponsor had me go in and make this list. My sponsor in Al-Anon is a woman that I met at one of my first meetings, and she seemed to be happy, and she seemed to know, you know, how to do the things that we were talking about in the rooms, and so I asked her to help me, And she lovingly said yes. And in this step, you know, one of the things she said is, you don't have to go do it yet. You don't have to go make the amend yet. All you have to do is make the list. And that was pretty easy for me because I did go back to some of my previous work that I'd done in step four and where I had listed out the people that I just had that feeling inside that I just didn't feel good about them. And it was that feeling of unease when I would think about certain events in my life. And those are the things that went first on my list. And those are the things that I found that I needed to make amends for. And so they went on the list. I'm grateful today that I understand, you know, my responsibility in this step. I can be overly responsible sometimes and just want to, you know, take on the guilt, take on, you know, making things right between my family members and myself. And that gives me such a feeling of, you know, being in charge and being in control. But by working, you know, the steps of Al-Anon and specifically, you know, waiting for God to help me to move forward from step eight, just to sit here and be willing, it's really shown me that I do have choices that I can make that are right for me, and that's my responsibility today, is to understand my choices and to do what's right for me. I am grateful that I have the release that comes from working from this step. Each of the steps as I've worked them have really done something for me. They've changed me. And the release that happens in step eight is the release really from guilt, because I take a good look at who I am, what I've done, and what it would take in order for me to walk away from that burden of the past and move forward into being more free, being more happy. And that's what Al-Anon's all about. It's about, you know, being able to live a way of life that makes me happy. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that y'all have given me the opportunity to share here today.
My name is Al, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. After going through the first seven steps in Al-Anon, I opened up a whole new view of myself. I took my first step eight in Al-Anon while I was separated from my wife, who was divorcing me, a teenage daughter who was at times on the street, and I was in fear of losing a relationship with all six children. I just threw myself into the program, daily reading of Al-Anon literature and going to 7 to 10 meetings a week. And I began to look at the past in a totally different way, with a great deal more honesty. I remembered my son at 6 bringing me a flattened paper bag with a sketch of a boat. "Can we build it?" he asked. I crumpled it up, threw it away, and designed on graph paper a boat we never built. On another occasion, I came into the kitchen and saw a half loaf of bread, the crust curling on the counter. I went to the door of the dining room where 4 of my children were eating and asked, "Who left the crust of bread?" My youngest daughter in the kitchen behind me, 9 years old, said, "Dad, it's only a crust of bread." I saw my children and others not where they were, but where in my mind I wanted them to be. The meetings, the Al-Anon members, speaking on the phone, the literature, began to show me glimmers of the real self hidden in the persona I'd created. I thought I was intense, righteous, and openly caring. I began to realize I was often obsessive, self-righteous, and subtly dominating and controlling. My 6 children went immediately on my 8-step list, and they remain there. I put my wife on my 8-step list, but the hard silences and the conflicts between us had me shuffling her name from, "Yes, I'm willing to make amends," to, "Well, maybe sometime in the future, if she changes." I have since made amends to her, but she remains on my list as someone to whom I still owe friendship and kindness. The God of my understanding provides intuitive nudges to act, often at my morning quiet time. I don't have to agonize over who I have or have not offended. Recently, I recalled an incident of a man who greeted me outside the place where AA and Al-Anon both meet. He smiled and asked if I was there for AA. I gave a curt, disrespectful no and moved inside. I blamed him for my uncomfortable feelings. 5 years later, God nudged me, and I put that man on my 8-step list. At first, I was willing only to change my attitude toward him. Then my higher power nudged me again to seek forgiveness, this time so I could change my attitude toward AA. I had to place him on my must-approach-at-first opportunity list. My higher power gives me those intuitive nudges as long as I continue to use the tools of the program. Step 8 has given me an opportunity to turn damaged relationships into friendship. I remain eternally grateful because Al-Anon continues to change my life. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Brent. I had a lot of trouble with step 8, making a list of people I had harmed. Either I felt totally worthless and like I was harming everybody and the world would be better off without me, or I felt totally righteous and I was the good one, not the one causing trouble. And the rest of them, I wasn't harming them by trying to straighten them out. So it was very difficult for me to actually sit down and make a list. I could come up with lists in my head, and my children were on it. I did not want to be the kind of mother that I'd grown up with. So I wanted my children to have a better mother. And that made it possible for me to put them on my step 8 list. I had a lot of conflicts in my marriage. I did not want to put my husband on my step 8 list because life was very difficult with him. And I came to understand through working and talking with people that I trusted that even if my amount of harm in the relationship was tiny, that was the amount of harm I was responsible for. It made a lot of sense to me to put myself on my step 8 list because a lot of my life I have done things and made decisions that were harmful to me. I was glad that I didn't have to figure out what kinds of amends, but in step 8, just make a list of people I'd harmed. Making the list has been an ongoing process, and there's parts of my life that I don't like to look at, and there are people in my past that I have harmed, and not all of them are still alive. Obviously, if I didn't want to be like my mother, I had a relationship with her that maybe I had done her some harm. Maybe I needed to put my father on my list. And figuring out who to put down and how willing I was a meaningful process, but a long process. It wasn't something that happened for me instantly. It is something that I still think about. Step 8 has been a growing experience, and every time I get to think or talk about a step, it's a growing experience. My life is a lot better than it was. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this discussion about Step 8 in Al-Anon. The topic of today's podcast is Step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others.
Hi, I'm Jane, and I grew up in an alcoholic family, alcoholic sisters, father, and I was the perfect child. I had to be perfect, and that was a way of dealing with my pain. And I had a lot of anger and resentment for all the harm that was produced from the alcoholics that were unreliable, non-dependable, and messing up in their lives. So I was a good student. I was a successful one, and I judged, and I hated, and I felt hurt, and I put on the front that I loved everybody, but it wasn't until Al-Anon that I realized I had all that anger and resentment because I was successful in my business. I was a good parent. And Al-Anon helped me realize that, first of all, I didn't have to be perfect. And all the other, and my job wasn't judging everybody. It wasn't manipulating the alcoholics, mothering the alcoholics, managing the alcoholics, telling them what to do because I was so perfect. And that was a real eye-opener because I'm a counselor and my job is helping people. But I never have the best information for everybody, and I can only suggest and not advise and make recommendations, but it was hard to do it in my personal life. And I'm really glad that I was able to make amends to my father because he died a few years after I started in Al-Anon, and I had total forgiveness and compassion for him because he did what he could. My sister, I'm a little choked up about this to this day. My sister is a recovered alcoholic, and we are best friends for the first time in my life. We help. We work with my mother together. She's had a lot of health issues, and we support each other and talk through things together. And she has shown appreciation for what I did to help her recover in hospitalizing her when she was young and about ready to end her life. And we have an understanding of what we grew up with, and we support each other. And we speak the same language because we both have been in Al-Anon. She's been in AA and Al-Anon. And last, my ex-husband, who I had labeled every label possible, I managed, manipulated, etc. He drank. I got angry. It recapitulated everything. It ended in a divorce, but because of my compassion I got from the program and my friends, in the program, and my sponsor, I am able to communicate with him now like never before. I'm able to accept him. You know, I'm able to love him in a way that I couldn't love, because before it was measured love. It was, you do this and I'll love you. You don't do this and I'll punish you. So the three very significant people in my life are the main people I have focused on my amends. I've spent years literally listening to all of it with my ex-husband. You know, you did this, you did that, and I was able to just listen and not defend for the first time in my life. And I have used it in my business. I've used it with my children. It's a daily practice. But being able to say I'm sorry was not something that came easily for me because I thought I was always right. And it's just a wonderful step. It's one of my favorite steps. And it's been life-changing, you know. Having humility goes along with this step for me, because unless we look at ourselves and realize we're not perfect, how can we start to realize we've done something that has hurt somebody and then make amends? So it's just a wonderful step, and it's been very important in my life. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Corey. For me, direct amends and step nine, when I actually started to make the direct amends to the people on my list, and I had more than one list, it was easy for me to make amends to people who I felt like I really had, I knew my part, and I was willing to accept my part in what I had done. The harder list for me was to my parents, because they, you know, I grew up in an alcoholic home, and part of my process was I didn't see how as a child or as a young adult that I had a part in my growing up. And what I realized is, and actually just not too long ago, had to make another amends to my stepmother. And what happened was I realized that my behavior towards them, even though their behavior wasn't perfect and sometimes even unacceptable, my behavior was also unacceptable. And as you know, a teenager, sometimes I was pretty nasty. And so I had to actually make amends. And I started with forgiving myself and making amends to myself that what happened, yes, it wasn't my fault, but this was my part and this is what I played. This is the part I played in that, and this is, you know, these were my devious ways that I had. And so I made amends a while ago. And then, like I said, just recently, I'm having to go back and make amends. I just realized it like a week ago. And I have not gotten a hold of the person that I need to make amends to, but I am working on that. And that's a, 40-year-old resentment and something that needs to be taken care of before it's too late to take care of it. And so, even though it didn't come right away when I did my ninth step a long time ago, I'm ready now. And God revealed that to me and gave me the willingness to see my part in that. And so for me, just, even if I don't know what the direct amends is going to be and I don't have to plan that out, I know that there will be an opportunity for me first to realize my part and then second to make that direct amends. And part of that with this person recently does have to do with the second half of that, because I can't make an amends for my brother and sister and their part. And I know that, although sometimes I want to do that. But the second part of that is, you know what, I don't know if it will injure them. And so I just need to take care of my stuff. And when they're ready and when it's time for them, they'll take care of theirs as well. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Johnny. And for me, the steps are in absolute order for a reason. Step 9 follows step 8, and step 8, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And then so step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So I have to look at my motive. What is my motive for making the amends? And if I get that right, the amends will work. The amends is my taking responsibility for my part. It's not an apology. It's to get me right with God. Resentments cut me off from relationship with my higher power. And the amends are a way to get that back, to get that relationship. And so the other person's reaction is not as important as my motive for doing it. And all the amends that I have made, people have always been very loving, accepting, and grateful. I've not had any really bad reactions, but I don't do it for that, for their reaction, good or bad. I do it for me and to get me right with God. We close in my meeting, we close each meeting with the Lord's Prayer. And one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer is, God, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that's, to me, that's the amends. And it's, asking God to forgive my trespasses to the extent that I'm willing to forgive others. I have a real resentment with a brother, and I know that I need to make an amends. And because I have a part in it. And what's difficult for me is to... even in step 8 when I was making the list, the first thought was people that had harmed me. And that's not what it's about. It's to look at my part and the harm that I've done and to try to make that right, except when to do so would injure them or others. My father was an alcoholic, so I grew up in the disease. And both mom and dad are gone, have been for years. And so the living amends is the amends I can make to them, to be the best person I can today, to be that son that I know they would both be proud of, to be the husband, the father, the grandfather, all of those things that the God of my understanding, my higher power, would want me to be, that living amends, that changed behavior. And a big part of that is step 9, taking responsibility for Johnny and forgiving others. And I think that's probably all I had to say on step 9. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Pam. Made direct amends. In the beginning, I assumed that this was an apology. It was very helpful to have the guidance of a sponsor and some loving members in the groups that I attended regularly to help me figure out the difference in this concept. Also, except when to injure them or others. I had to figure out that as well. Early in my recovery, when I started working through the steps and I started clearing away my wreckage of my past through the steps, I determined that I didn't want to do any damage to anybody else again. So I was very careful with that, and I worked with my sponsor very closely, and she was very helpful sorting that out so that I was able to make direct amends and take care of that wreckage of my past. A lot of these behaviors were learned, because I had grown up in an alcoholic home, and I just thought it was the way that things were supposed to be done. I didn't know there was a difference. And thank goodness that the people in this program, with their loving kindness, showed me the different ways. One thing I can say about making direct amends, I have to be sure of my motive in the beginning and make sure that I know that I am changing my behavior, that I'm not going to repeat the same mistakes again, if at all possible, because I want to mend my behavior. So by the time I get to step 9, I'm at least willing. I have some that in the beginning there was no way I'm going to make an amend or an apology or anything else to this person or that person. And then there were some that I thought, well, possibly. And then there were some that, well, I have no clue where they are now. I haven't seen them in 30 or 40 years, and I don't know. So my job was to become willing, and I did. And one at a time, those people would come into my life, and I got surprised a time or two. There was a person that I hadn't seen in about 40 years, and there they were. It was very surprising. And at the same time, I knew that I was willing, that I had worked through these steps, and that whatever my higher power had in store for this situation, that's the way it would be. So I did my part, and that's all I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for me. One of the lessons that I learned early on in the step process was that whatever list I made, my name needed to be at the top of that list. So I had to make amends to myself as well. That was quite a concept to grasp for me, and so very rewarding. I think that's all I had to say on step 9.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this discussion about step 9 in Al-Anon.
The topic of today's podcast is step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it.
Hi. My name is Bobby, and I'm most grateful Al-Anon member. Step 10, wow. This has been a step that has really allowed me to grow in my program, becoming aware of my actions and the patterns of which I seem to do them. I have become aware while being in program for a few 24 hours, that I am a very independent person and I can do for myself. And recently we had a family gathering and my son and my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter had traveled from another state to this family gathering. And my granddaughter chose to say, "Grandma, would you have your picture taken with me?" And my first impulse was, I take terrible pictures. And I do, for my eyes. And she looked at me and said, "Oh, okay," and walked away. And I don't know that this young lady was hurt or felt any sort of anything other than Grandma said no. And I came home after this family event, and it was in my head and on my heart. And I talked with my sponsor several times, and she, in her wonderful manner, said, "And what are you going to do about it?" And I says, "I need to make an amends. I need to tell her that I'm sorry for my actions. I'm aware that sometimes what I do is impulsive, and that's my word. And so what I did do, and I felt so much better while doing it and after I did do it, was sit down and write her a little note and express to her my apology. And at the same time, I said to her in this letter, I am ashamed of my actions. For me, that probably was the most relieving feeling that I have ever experienced while doing a 10th step, because I'm aware of my actions and I try to correct them. Would I have a picture taken today? Absolutely. You know, you get what you see. And I don't have to be a model, a glorified picture person. All I have to do is just be in the picture, and I do want to be in the picture of my family. And I thank you for allowing me to share.
Hi, I'm Grace. When I think of step 10, it brings to mind an incident that happened with me and another friend. I had spoken unkindly to her, and I could see immediately that what I had said had hurt her. I could see it in her eyes, and her face changed. And thanks to Al-Anon, I was able to recognize the fact that I had done something harmful to a friend. I was able to call my sponsor, talk it over, see what to do, and approached this young lady later in the day and tell them how sorry I was, that I may have hurt them, and that I was willing to accept the consequences of my actions. I know that thanks to the Al-Anon program, I'm able to admit to myself when I am wrong and ask for forgiveness from others. Thank you.
I am Kay, and the thing that I enjoy so much about Step 10 is the freedom that it gives me. Because of the Al-Anon program, I have learned to take a personal inventory of myself every day, and when something jumps out at me that I recognize by facial expression or by change in the subject, perhaps, I'm aware of the fact that maybe I have stepped amiss and have not conveyed really what I wanted to convey, or have done something that was not what I meant to do. It is a wonderful freedom to use the steps in Al-Anon and the tools of Al-Anon to immediately go to that person or to say to the person, I realize that I said something amiss or I did something amiss. And the freedom that comes in our relationship is incredible. I also enjoy talking with my sponsor about that and trying to find a pattern of how that behavior could be avoided in future. I think that probably admitting it when we are wrong is the way that we grow. I have come from a background where many times I wasn't actually wrong, but I was accused of being wrong. And in the program, I have learned that I no longer have to live that way, being taught that I was wrong automatically, but that I am free to live my life the best that I can and to always accept the responsibility of that. And I I am so grateful in my daily life and in my personal life that I can take a personal inventory and look for patterns of behavior and try to correct them the best that I can using all the tools of Al-Anon. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this discussion about Step 10 and Al-Anon. The topic of today's podcast is Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out.
I'm Joe. I think when we look at this step that we're really getting to some of the meat of Al-Anon. A lot of things go through my mind. One is that we say we're not a religious program, but we are a spiritual program. And Step 11 really points that out to us. Another thing that struck me was that the very first word is sought, and that involves or appears to me to imply that there would be some effort on our part. We are not just sitting around and waiting for our higher power to contact us, but we're proactive, if you will. We are out seeking conscious contact with the God of our understanding, with the person or thing that we call our higher power. We're seeking that through two main methods, prayer and meditation. Some people will talk about that as prayer being more talking and meditation being more listening. I don't know if that's an accurate definition of the words, but it's something that I really seem to like. That seems to strike a chord with me. I think we have a responsibility to ourselves to keep seeking our higher power. And then we talk in this step about praying for knowledge of His will and the power to carry that out. It's so always so interesting how the steps fit together, and when we look at the powerlessness that we come face-to-face with in step one, and as we work those first three steps with often a great deal of effort, we think and just really are confronted with how powerless we are. And here we're saying we want to know the will of our higher power, but we recognize that we need His strength and His helping us in order to carry that will out. Again, as often you'll hear comments in meetings, and I'm struck again tonight with how this is so obviously in the right order, that we don't start off with this, that the steps really are put together. We owe the people who went before us so much, and that's one thing I always appreciate is the effort that went into this, not only in placing in order, but in the choosing of every word. So as we have gone through 10 of the previous steps, working our way towards maybe our first time of going through this, we come to step 11. And I think there's a lot of peace in this step. I think as we work this step, we can just increase in knowledge of our higher power, knowledge of His will, and knowledge of ourselves. Thanks for listening.
This is Kathy. Step 11 to me, it brings such serenity to me when I read it. After working the first 10 steps, I come to this step and I just have a time to think, to stop, and think about what my higher power means to me. I have a really wonderful relationship now with God that I got through working the Al-Anon steps. Before I came into Al-Anon, I knew there was a God. I was brought up with a God, but it wasn't my God. In Al-Anon, I found my higher power, and he's helped me through so many things. It's just wonderful. Right now, we're going through some hard times in our family life, and when I think of this step, and I can stop, and I can pray, and I can wait for answers, and He helps me to move through my day, And there are times when I just feel so helpless. When I think about my higher power, I ask, what do you want me to do? How do I go about? Sometimes I just listen, and I know he'll put the answers in front of me. I just have to be patient. So I just feel so thankful and so special that I have a higher power. And I come back to the step over and over, of course, like we all do. And every time I think about how serene it makes me feel and how wonderful it is to have a higher power. Thank you for listening.
Hi, my name is Tom, and I'm very grateful to be participating this evening. This is an everyday step for me. And as I first came into the program, I had a very difficult time with the concept of God. I didn't grow up in a family that spent a lot of time talking about God, and so this was a hard part for me. And through time, one of the ways that I have gotten in touch with a higher power is being able to see God through other people. Nowadays, I see God a lot through working with my sponsees and working with my sponsor. And so pretty much every day I have contact with other people in the program, and that centers me. With this step, I get to take a moment and just listen to my higher power. And my sponsor always says, you know, make sure you're listening for the right thing. Make sure you're asking God for what God wants and not what you want, which is sometimes a hard thing. I think that this step, along with giving us a touchstone to our higher power on a daily basis, is also, for me, the step that gives me a feeling of trust. And I trust in a higher power, and I get that trust through a higher power from other people in the program, because I found people in the program that I could trust. I lived with a raging alcoholic, and it was very, very difficult to find a feeling of trust. And working the steps, and particularly coming onto step 11, was what gave that to me. And I'm extremely grateful for them. And I'm also extremely grateful to work these steps with my sponsees. And when we get to step 11, I don't know, it's I think some of our best discussions come out of this step and how we perceive our higher powers. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Lil. Step 11 happens to be one of my favorite steps. When I first came into a program, I know my prayers were quite different from today. One thing that I have learned is that every time I go through the steps, I learn a little bit more. I get a little bit more depth, a little bit more understanding of myself and the God of my understanding. And, you know, I'm grateful that one of the things I learned from this step is that serenity is not freedom from the storm, but serenity is peace amid a storm. And how we find, or at least I find, that peace in the storm is through prayer and meditation. Knowing that I can get the power to carry things out through God's will, I've, you know, learned to really trust and know that God always has my back, and that is such a wonderful feeling. And I've learned to also, you know, get the answers. Sometimes I like to joke that you don't listen to the voices in your head, you just listen to the voice. And sometimes God's answer is yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait and see. And the wait and see has always been one of the most amazing gifts I've ever gotten compared to the yes and no's. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this discussion about Step 11 in Al-Anon. The topic of today's podcast is Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Hi, I'm Elaine. When I first joined Al-Anon approximately 4 years ago, I did not quite get it how I was going to carry this program outside of the realm of the disease of alcoholism itself within my family, the immediate family. But as I worked the steps and progressed through, and when I got to the 12th step, and it said to, you know, practice these principles in all our affairs, it did click a little that it's not just in my home. It's not just with the reason that I was in Al-Anon, which was the alcoholic. When I'm out and about in my daily life, because I am a stay-at-home mom, there are times when I have to let go and let God and understand that I cannot control something somewhere along the lines, and I'm helpless as far as what other people are doing. But it also works specifically with my children. When they're in their school atmosphere, both my children have Asperger's syndrome, and one of them is mainstreamed and the other one is not. And I find myself, when I'm having to advocate for my children in their school lives, practicing the 12 steps is what helps me get through to help them get the best out of their school lives that they can for themselves. You know, the one IEP meeting that I went to, realizing, I looked at my husband and he looked at me, and we both said, do we realize we just 12-step that whole meeting? So it's a matter of using it no matter where the you are in your life. The program works inside the disease of alcoholism and outside in our daily lives. And before coming into Al-Anon, I really did not know how to live the best life that I possibly could. And that's where that spiritual awakening comes into play, that I realized that I now have the tools to not only work within the disease of alcoholism, but to carry the message to others and to practice the principles in all of my affairs. So thanks for letting me share.
My name is Adam, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. What the 12th step means to me is, first of all, that there was a place that welcomed me when I first showed up in my recovery. And what I've learned through my practice of the program is about our primary purpose, which is to welcome and give comfort to families of alcoholics. And because of this step explicitly, you know, saying to us that we should, you know, once we have some kind of spiritual awakening, whatever that is for us, we should carry this program and share it with others who might need it, it really brings everything full circle. And it gives me a reason to keep participating in Al-Anon, because now I realize that it's not just about what I went through, but it's how I can share my recovery from that with other people who might be coming through our doors. And to me, this is really important, and it's the 12th step really links up with the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts of service, and it really makes makes for a much broader and deeper understanding for me of what Al-Anon is and the part that I can play in it. We hear the term spiritual awakening, and we think that might mean something religious, but Al-Anon isn't a religious program. The spiritual awakening is just, you know, I have a greater awareness of how I was affected by the disease of alcoholism. I am able to verbalize that and then take some actions, including in my home group, making that a safe, healthy group to the extent that I can do that, and participating in the larger service structure in my area. So I think that's what this step means to me, and it's a very important step. It really sums up what we can experience and the hope that the Al-Anon program can give to each of us. Thank you for listening.
I'm Joan. And I came into Al-Anon, and I felt that my life was pretty much hopeless, that my husband's drinking was bothering me, and that I would have to absolutely get a divorce. But I found hope in these rooms, And for that journey that I took with the 12 steps, working those with a sponsor, I felt that I had little spiritual awakenings all along the line. And my husband did find sobriety, but eventually he passed away. And I was visiting my home country, Australia, a few months after he died, and I was staying with my sister, who was living with active alcoholism. And I just knew that I had to do something. It was just not comfortable. So I went to some meetings, and I thoroughly loved every meeting I went to in Sydney. And I was sharing how difficult it was living with active alcoholism after being with sobriety for so long. And I had three offers from the members of that meeting to come and stay with them. And to me, that outreaching of support and love and unconditional understanding was just so powerful to see that 12th step in action from other people. So I was very grateful, and I went home feeling how wonderful that our fellowship just extends all over the world, and every meeting that I went to was exactly the same as the meetings that I was going to in my hometown. So I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this discussion about Step 12 in Al-Anon.